The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you're concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. If you're on social media, you know it's full of people talking about issues and events around town. It's rife with opinions about what's wrong with the way things were done, and it's full of misinformation. Like any form of gossip or retelling of stories, sometimes facts get misconstrued or completely changed. Our goal here is to find out the real story of what's going on straight from the horse's mouth, and sometimes, to quote the venerable Paul Harvey, to get the rest of the story. My name is Ted Tate, and today on Town Matters, we're speaking with Bobby Duke, our newly appointed Director of Parks and Recreation for Colonial Beach. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate being here.
Yep. So let's start with how did we end up deciding as a town that we needed a Parks and Recreation Director?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I grew up here, so, and we did not have anything of the sort. And I think what has happened in the past administration, town councils, is they've seen the amount of growth that's coming into town, which is exciting for all of us. And we've already got some existing parks that are beautiful, and they realized that in order to move forward, they needed someone to lead the department to make sure these parks were being utilized more and well-maintained and address concerns for the citizenry. And it was obviously something that folks have talked about needing something like this. And I'm just happy that I was chosen. So,
and you just said you're a local resident. You grew up here?
I did. I was born and raised here. Spent probably 35 of my 47 years on the planet here in town with a couple stops other places. But yeah, been here most of my life.
And what's your background that you ended up getting put into this position?
Well, I think eons ago, I served as the town treasurer in 2002. So I do have some familiarity with town government, not wanting to ever get back into politics. I think a lot of the volunteer work I've done in the past was probably something that looked good on my resume, so to speak. I served as president of the Colonial Beach Youth Athletic Association 20 years ago, volunteered as a coach and as a commissioner of the league, and most recently was the president of the Rappahannock Baseball Initiative, which was the cheerleading effort to bring minor league baseball to the city of Fredericksburg. So a lot of the extracurriculars and volunteer things that I have done kind of directly apply to the Parks and Rec department. So.
Okay.
I'm excited about it.
Excellent. So, you obviously have knowledge of the parks that we already have. Mm-hmm. You've been a resident. Do you want to go through what those parks are? Maybe people don't know all the different facilities that we have. I mean, Torrey Smith Park obviously is the newest and it got the greatest publicity, and we could go over maybe what the status of that is, because even that is still developing now over a year later.
Absolutely. Well, again, like I mentioned, we want to get the maximum use out of all of our parks, and we think they're almost, some of them are hidden gems. I mean, we have a beautiful new dog park, which is kind of tucked away on the creek. And
it's a beautiful spot.
It is, actually. And it's I'm quite envious of, I'm not a dog owner, but at least, you know, it's a really nice place back there. Torrey Smith is the main focal point for a Parks and Rec facility in town. It gets a lot of usage, particularly in the warmer months. And we want to make even more use of that through the NGOs and the wonderful civic organizations to hold more events there. But we also have Castlewood, which at the moment is open for business, and folks can take their kids down there and play. We've got the Washington Avenue Park, located where the old school property is. So they're nice and tucked away in many ways. But again, we'd like to see folks utilizing them more.
Oh, the Washington Avenue Park. I was just
correct.
That's oh, I know where that is. Okay, so that's sort of behind where the school was, but correct. It's on Washington Avenue. It's yep. got that little jungle gym that's
absolutely.
There. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't even. It's funny. It took me a minute to think of
hey, where. If you blink, you'll miss about?
It. You're absolutely right.
Right.
And then each of those parks have like Torrey Smith. I think the bathrooms just opened there.
They did just last week. We opened them up, and we are going to have. We didn't have a grand opening of the bathrooms, which is, you know, not a big deal, but it just adds exactly. It just adds another kind of. It's a really nice facility, and the folks that built it did a tremendous job. It just kind of adds to the whole beauty of the park itself, and we just installed a tennis backboard, so folks can go over there and play by themselves and practice. It was a piece of equipment that was donated.
Yeah, let's talk about each of the things that are there. I mean, there's basketball courts, there's tennis courts. What else is going on?
There's a jungle gym of sorts for kids to play on. The basketball courts are maintained and taken care of, and kids are using them and having fun. And we just ask everybody cleans up after themselves. But the newest thing, and I'm dating myself, but pickleball. I played pickleball 15 years ago when I lived in Washington State. And somehow it's been found, and folks are playing it down there all the time.
Oh.
It's like you're standing on a ping pong table with big ping pong rackets, and it's a lot of fun. So tennis, you know, folks are still playing tennis over there. So it's really rounding into shape, and I think it's something for the town to be proud of.
And for example, to use the tennis courts, is it a just first come first serve situation?
It is, and I think everybody's been really cool about waiting in line. There's not been any, you know. You don't have to check out any particular equipment. I think River Gym, if you don't have equipment, they'll let you sign out basketballs and
oh, nice.
And things like that. So they've been really, really good about working with the kids. The honor system, they come in, they sign in for a basketball, and they bring it back. Yeah, we just want to see more usage out of it. And we've got some exciting things coming later in the summer with some of the nonprofits that are going to hold events over there. It's really... Sounds like fun.
And how does that work? If a group wants to hold an event at a park, do they just apply to the town like they would for any other event, say on Town Hill or whatever?
Yes, they would go through the normal special event process. And it's part of my job to work with the civic organizations to organize that and make sure that there's coverage on the day of the event. You know, we have proper volunteers. And of course, in the time of COVID, we want to maintain, you know, some of the precautions that we're still under. But hopefully, as things loosen up a bit, excuse me, those events will be bigger and bigger.
When a group is wanting to do a special event, are areas like Town Hill also under your purview? I mean, it's not technically a park, but is it?
Not at the, well, it's an open green space, and traditionally, I don't think it's been considered a park. And I think they would go through the normal channels of applying with the town for a special events permit.
But would that involve you in any way?
Do
you
not think? On Town Hill, okay. Not yet, unless my new boss. Who got started recently tells me it's
oh, that's
in
right,
my
our new
purview.
Town manager.
But yeah. It was great. The town has been wonderful to work with, and they've given me kind of the ability to build this thing from the ground up. And the main emphasis is to like I said, get usage out of our parks and get some more events going on. And we've got some exciting things to look forward to with additional parks too.
You want to tell us a little preview?
Yeah, I mean there's some information that'll be brought to the town next week at the council work session. One of the things that I advocated for in the interview process for this position was having a park at the on the north side of town, the numbered streets above 12th, for example. It's an underserved part of town when it comes to facilities. So it's a big priority for the town. And I can tell you, most of the folks, well, all of the folks that I've talked to are on board with having something up there. So
now our school is on First Street. Mm-hmm. Are there any facilities there?
Not specifically. I mean, they have baseball fields and things of that nature. But I've made contacts, obviously, with the folks at the school. And we're hoping to use the school for an event coming up in July. I can't quite say exactly when the event's going to happen, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be at the school, so stay tuned for that. But we are working closely with the school as well, to try and use some of those facilities a little more often.
But now you're separately talking about a park somewhere at First Street or further north.
Yes. The idea that we have been chatting with folks about is what's called a linear park. So basically it's more of a, it's a long, narrow park as opposed to a singular piece of property, for example, and that would run along the numbered streets But again, more information will come out on that. But it's very, very exciting. It's going to serve the folks that live up that way.
I've seen some of the social media talk about that, and that I guess they're talking about potentially the path that a lot of golf carts currently use.
Correct.
Above, what is it? Above 9th Street?
It's actually 7th to Forest Avenue. The length of the path.
Into that whole other development that is part of Colonial Beach, but you can't really get to by golf cart unless you get on these kind of gravel and dirt and small paths.
Yes.
And it's you're talking about a linear park, which most people use the New York High Line as an example of. It's a linear example. Park. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a neat idea. And any idea what sort of facilities it would have other than a walking path?
No, I think it's going to be a lot more if we were able to do it the way we'd like to. I think in a dream world, and again, this is what we're hoping for, is that you would have different types of equipment on each section of the park. So you might have a playground, you might have a jungle gym. We've had great ideas about the old style concrete chess tables like you see in the parks in New York City, and then there's also talk of a fitness equipment of some sort along the way. We're going to get really, really creative and crazy with the ideas that we would like to do. It's in the infancy of planning, but I think the finished product is going to be really, really cool.
It's a neat idea, and of course, it's a heavily wooded area, so it really lends itself well to feeling like a park.
Absolutely.
Even though it's a path to get from one point to another.
Right.
Will there still be a golf cart path?
I believe there will still be a golf cart path, and I think it would be less bumpy and less gravelly, and may save folks a couple bucks on their shocks work for their golf carts. It's really the pictures that I've seen, the drawings, the creativeness that folks have come up with. It's going to be a really, really cool thing. And yes, I think a walking/biking/golf cart path is going to be a big improvement up there too.
Sounds exciting.
It's very exciting.
How does something like that get funded?
Well, you know, small towns like us, we have to rely on grant funding, and we're going to be applying for a Department of Conservation and Recreation grant. It's called the Virginia Trails Program. It's an 80-20. So we would have to fund obviously 20% of the project. And it's, you know, thankful that we can apply for those opportunities, and hopefully we will get it and successfully get it. But just like I said, it's something that could really add some more open and green space to the town and connects the neighborhoods, so to speak, in many ways. But also, more importantly, the election of last fall, everybody was talking about a park on the north side of town, and this will satisfy that because it's going to be a lot of fun.
And unique and interesting.
Absolutely.
Another jungle gym.
No, exactly. I mean, it's just, it'd be very easy to go buy a piece of playground equipment, which is fine. We have some wonderful things like that. But I think this is just really, really cool. And those folks up there deserve it. And hopefully it works out for them.
That's nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe even bring a little traffic that way in terms of visitors and things, you know, which could also be nice, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of jungle gyms, Castlewood Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of talk about that moving and all sorts of things happening. What's the current plan there? I know there've been, you know, like I said, there was a plan to move it, and then it was not a plan to move it, and there's plans to fence it. What do we think we're going to do now?
I'll be quite honest with you. I have not been in any of the discussions about what we're exactly going to be doing with Castlewood.
Okay.
When I took the job a couple of weeks ago, the first thing I did was go over the latest executive orders from the governor and basically went through it and said, we need to open up as many parks as we can within what we're allowed to do. And my main focus those first couple of weeks was making sure that people knew that the parks were open, Castlewood being one of them. So I went up there a couple of weeks ago and took the park closed sign down.
And I guess we should have highlighted that right at the beginning of the show. The parks in town are open
exactly,
now, folks.
Exactly, yes. The parks are open. And
they're all open, and they're fully open. There's no restricted hours other than the normal hours.
Correct.
And there's no special things that somebody going to the park really has to do, is there?
No, we just ask folks that they're still careful.
Yeah.
If you don't feel well, stay at home, obviously. But I think everybody's itching to just get outside, let their kids have a break and get some sunshine. But back to Castlewood, I really don't. I wish I had more information on what the plan is. There's strong feelings on both sides of where to go with that. All I know is I go by every morning, and there are parents out there with their kids. They're having a good time.
It's a well-used park.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we need more opportunities for people to get outside and play, and that's just another way to do it.
I mean, I've seen drawings of what could be there in terms of more fencing and things like that. But sure. I guess nothing is set in stone yet.
I don't believe so. No. And obviously the same thing with Eleanor Park, for example.
That was going to be my next question.
believe me, I you know, Eleanor Park is, regardless of how you feel, you know, about your, you know, the political stance on it, it's a hot button issue.
But, it sure is.
You know, it's my job to make sure that, regardless of what it is, it's well maintained, that people have access to it, it's safe, it looks nice. There's a group of people up there meeting today about an anti-litter program, and they said, "Hey, let's meet at Eleanor," and it was beautiful, and it's right along the water. And again, I know that there have been some talks of conservation easement and things of that nature, but that's still in the works. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to go up there and have a picnic, do it. It's beautiful. Throw the frisbee, you know, let your kids run around.
Croquet.
Croquet, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's Eleanor Park's a tough one because there has been so much said and done about it.
Right.
And yet it still just sits there as this big empty lawn. Mm-hmm. because I guess nobody can, we can never seem to agree on what should happen to it. And I guess at the moment, it falls under your purview because it is the town owned by the town, and it is technically a park.
Mm-hmm.
But since nobody can decide what they want to do with it, you're just stuck with kind of maintaining it and making sure that the grass is cut and it's not a hazard to anybody in any way. But people are free to use it, as you say, to have picnics on it or whatever.
Absolutely.
We'll see if you want to stick your neck out. Do you have an idea, a vision for what you think it should be without necessarily saying that it will be that, because you don't have the authority, only the council in the end will decide.
No, I mean, I don't feel uncomfortable discussing it. I mean, the political aspect of it is what it is. If it's going the way I think it's going to be, I think at some point, and this is just my best guess, that it would be more of what most would consider a traditional park, in the sense that there would be parking, there would be signage, there would be public restrooms. And I don't know how that squares with any of the plans at the moment, but if that's what they're going to do, it would be my job to make sure that, again, it's taken care of, it's safe, and that people use it a heck of a lot more than they currently are.
It's kind of wasted space right now because it's very underutilized. Right.
It is. And before I took this job, I'll take a step back and say, you know, I used to say, well, I wonder if I took my boys up there, is it okay? Is it legal for me to let my boys run around and play?
Well, and that's part of why people don't use it, quite frankly, is people look at it and go, is that private property?
Correct.
I mean, you can't even tell.
Right. No. The discussions I've had with the administration is it's a park. And now that I know that, I mean, I can take my kids and let them run around and have fun within, you know, not getting into trouble and misbehaving. But yeah, I mean, it's right now it's just a beautiful piece of green space, and you know, people are going to have strong emotions about what it should be.
Yeah.
But as of right now, in my position as the director, I just want to see it look nice, and what the politicians decide, they can decide.
Well, and we'll wait for that, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's another to be continued story. Yes. We can talk about that another day,
right,
I guess,
exactly.
In greater depth. Is there anything we've talked about? Each of the parks in town, and we've talked about what will hopefully be a new park at the north end of things. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about?
No, but there's a lot going on. One of the more exciting things that it kind of goes into parks and recreation is we're working on a historical marker. I'm quite sure folks know what historical markers. We see them along the highways in Port Royal,
those,
for example.
Big iron signs.
Yeah, and there's one for where, the location where John Wilkes Booth was caught by the police, or the Union Army. But we're working on one for the Oyster Wars.
And that would be right down by Castlewood Park, isn't
absolutely.
It? Absolutely. Where they're thinking of putting it.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've kind of worked on with the NGOs and the civic organizations. We're trying to raise money to get a marker. They're not cheap.
What does something like that cost?
About $2,000 when you factor in the manufacturing of the sign the, you know, putting it up. Mm-hmm. You have to make application through the Virginia Historical Markers folks in VDOT, I believe, which we're in the process of doing. But so if anybody out there wants to donate a couple bucks, get in touch with me. It's part of the history of the town that while some people know about it, others may not. If they're a tourist or just a local person that's interested in those sorts of things, it'll be located somewhere near Castlewood Park. So
this would be a sign that just kind of reviews a little bit about what the Oyster Wars were.
Right.
And what happened here.
And the fact that a local resident was killed by the Maryland Marine Police for suspicion of illegally dredging in the middle of the night. And that kind of ended the Oyster Wars in many ways.
Okay.
A compact was signed by President Kennedy, I think in 1962, to create the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, which is headquartered here.
Right.
And that kind of, the death of Berkeley Muse, who happened to be my great uncle.
Really?
Yes, he was the one that was shot, and it was just such a horrific event that it kind of ended the Oyster Wars between, you know, the Commonwealth and Maryland.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah, so we're doing all kinds of fun stuff. So it's just not, you know, you'll see me out every morning with the trash bag picking up trash at the parks and everything, but we got a lot going on with the grants and the historical markers and the working with the event planning, so yeah, a lot going on.
You mentioned picking up trash. Mm-hmm. I've seen the video of our mayor picking mm-hmm. up trash.
Yes.
Very unhappy about it.
Sure.
How bad is the trash situation here? I mean, when we're going to get, it's summer starting, obviously, and mm-hmm. we're going to have a lot of tourists. Yeah. How bad is that?
Well, I'd be honest with you, after the mayor's video, which was, I think, the day or two before I started.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Madam Mayor, way to put the pressure on me. I think it woke a lot of people up, and that's a good thing. I think it brought attention to something that we need to be constantly reminding folks of, is that you need to be a little bit better stewards of the environment and keeping the town clean. We've got multiple trash cans all over the town.
There's no excuse. There's just, especially in that park,
because
that's a brand new park. It was Torrey Smith Park. It was strewn with stuff.
Absolutely.
There's trash cans everywhere. It's a brand new park. The trash cans are in perfectly good shape. They get collected every week, twice a week, probably.
Yes.
And there's just no excuse.
No, there wasn't. And that's where I literally,
why she was mad.
Well, I would be mad too. I start my day at Torrey Smith Park with a trash bag, and mm-hmm. I go to the dog park, Castlewood, Washington Avenue, and just kind of check on all those things.
And do you get a trash bag full each time?
I don't, which is great.
Good.
Which is great. Now, keep in mind, there are some wonderful folks who live in and around the parks who just take it upon themselves to go clean. Whoever you are, you're heroes. But I was at the park the other day, and there were a couple of kids. They had their bikes on the basketball court. And I went over and I was like, hey, guys, you having fun? And they was like, yeah, we're having a great time. I'm like, do me a favor and not ride your bike on the basketball courts. You know, you're not supposed to.
And I guess it's not good for the surface?
I don't know about that, but it's just we discourage the wheels from being on the surfaces. So, and I was like, hey, is that your bottle of water over there? Make sure you throw that away. And the kids were super receptive.
Cool.
So my approach is, you know, kids often do kids things and they leave trash behind.
Mostly because they're not thinking.
Correct. I don't think there's any malice there, but we do need to remind them that, mm-hmm. hey, and that's part of my job. I mean, I'm going to be at the parks all the time, particularly as we get closer to summer. Hopefully going to have some volunteers that are going to man the parks or woman the parks, however you want to describe it. Yeah, we just want to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing and keeping it nice and clean.
And so those ambassadors, I think, as we call them,
correct.
Those would be people who do that gentle nudge of don't forget your water bottle.
Exactly.
And that sort of stuff.
Exactly. We had park attendants last year that were paid, mm-hmm. But I think that was wrapped up with maybe some COVID dollars that local governments were allowed to use for those types of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be available to us this year. I've met with council and wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't ask for some part-time staff in the summertime to look over those things. But if we do have a volunteer brigade, that's another aspect of my job that I'll be kind of taking up. And I've had a lot of people step up and say, we would love to volunteer at the parks, volunteer on the beach. So I think it was a pretty successful program last year.
Good.
Given the amount of traffic we had.
Yeah. Yeah, so. we sure did.
Yes.
COVID really, I think, increased the number of people who were looking for someplace nearby that they could just have a day at the water or whatever and not yes. have to go over the big bridge and all that sort of stuff.
It was amazing. And yeah. it was the most crowded I've seen for a summer in town in my 40-some years.
Yeah.
Every day. And which is good.
Yeah, every day was like Memorial Day.
It seemed like it. Which some of my local friends can't wait for Labor Day to come because things start to slow down a little bit more. But yeah, it was great. And with those crowds, Ted, comes more trash inevitably, and we're going to be on it because the folks expect as the department head to do my job, and part of that is to make sure the parks are looking good, clean, safe. So.
Excellent. Well, Bobby Duke, thank you very much for coming by and introducing yourself to everybody, because I think given how new your position is, a lot of people may not even know you exist. So now we have a man who is in charge of Parks and Recreation here in Colonial Beach, and he's going to be, I think, a very good steward for us to build upon and maintain what we have in the terms of parks and recreation areas. So absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.